In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
What happened in Las Vegas was a horrible tragedy. It was an act of sheer unfathomable evil that took the lives of 59 people, men and women who were there simply to watch a concert. In the aftermath of the shooting, the FBI immediately said it wasn't a terrorist event and that there was no connection to Islamic terrorism, which is odd because they also said that they didn't know a thing about the guy. But this is the same FBI that said Orlando wasn't Islamic terrorism, San Bernardino wasn't Islamic terrorism, and on, only to be proved wrong that it was Islamic terrorism. Which is also odd because ISIS is saying, yes, he was one of us. In fact, you've no doubt heard some pundits and commentators on the mainstream media saying, well, sometimes ISIS claims something and it turns out not to be ISIS. They did that with a casino shooting in the Philippines. Well, that is a lie. That guy was an Islamist, and you'll hear the evidence for that on today's show. Why is the FBI lying about that? Why is the media? After all the denial, as of Friday, there is a growing speculation that maybe the Las Vegas shooter was connected to Islamic terror. On today's show, we're going to take a look at the possibility of that with Kamal Saleem, a former jihadist. In particular, we'll ask what the media and authorities appear to be missing, that you don't have to be a Muslim to be part of the jihadist movement. There's been speculation on a mystery woman involved. Be sure to listen to the whole show as we reveal the overlooked and alarming involvement of women in jihad. I'd like to welcome back Kamal Saleem, president of Koome Ministries. That's K-O-O-M-E ministries.com. He is a former cultural jihadist with the PLO and Muslim Brotherhood. He had come to America to destroy it from within, but after an accident changed his life, he converted to Christianity and now works to expose the dangers of Islam and to bring Muslims to the freedom, peace, and liberty of Jesus Christ. Kamal, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
It's awesome being with you, Brother Mark. Thank you for what you do, and thank you for advancing God's kingdom today.
Well, thank you so much. And let's start with this shooter in Las Vegas. There is still an awful lot of unanswered questions. There's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of bad information out there. There's some that is maybe better than others. But let's start with him. This is a guy that's been off the grid for years. He's one that seems to deal only in cash transactions, such as buying his homes and his weapons. There so far seems to be few, if any, electronic records about him other than his online gambling. While the FBI immediately jumped in to say that he was not a Muslim terrorist, ISIS, however, claimed that they're still claiming him as one of their soldiers. What are your thoughts, and how well does he fit the profile of being a possible Muslim terrorist?
Well, the Word of God says you will know them by their fruit. You know, number one, we need to understand that what this man did, Barak, you know, he prepared for this. He sent money to the Philippines. He flew to the Philippines. He was there for a while and prior to all this. And we need to see also that he bought all the weapon. He bought those special bullets to really utterly kill. They're explosive bullets that nobody's talking about it, which is you could not buy from, armory store. You know, so you have to buy them from a specific place. They are made to shred into the police vest and kill people. Mm. And you see many people that these bullets exploded in their system. Number two, that he had cameras prepared to know what's happening behind him. He rented that suite ahead of time. You know, he was prepared for a long, long time for all this. All this doesn't come by mistake. But we need to look at the second part, that ISIS never lied when they said about, you know, the attack. You know, when ISIS said something, we need to understand what ISIS is saying. You know, in regard to the FBI for the last 8 years, they have been wrong on everything. They have been wrong on everything from San Bernardino to, you know, Las Vegas to everything. And we need to understand their analysis is made ever since the Muslim Brotherhood invaded the FBI. What happened? They stripped all the tools of how to look at terrorism and Islamism.
Yes.
And what happened? They changed it and they brought about a, you know, Islamic ideology to treat this from Islamic perspective. So it moves terrorism out of the scenario immediately. You know,
isn't that sort of counterproductive, though, in the sense that, as you said, the FBI has been wrong on everything. And here they are again saying, oh, he's not the Muslim terrorist. There's absolutely no ties whatsoever. And ISIS is saying the exact opposite. If, like all of these other cases, it's proven that, yes, in fact, he did have some ties to these groups, doesn't that just weaken the FBI's reputation and their ability to analyze these kinds of things? In other words, it's just going to wear out people's trust in the FBI.
Well, and it is. That's why we're seeing chaos in our nation, because you know, the people that's supposed to protect us. And that is part of the FBI. The FBI, I suppose, is number one, to understand and call things as they are. To say, this is a terrorist attack, this is Islamic attack, this is so-and-so. And the second part is to protect the people. This is what the FBI job is. But when we have, on September 29th of this year, we have ISIS, issued, this is in a Federalist, you know, this article came, you know, they issued chilling warning to the U.S. Muslims. They said, stay away from public places, specifically casinos. So from Las Vegas, you know, casino areas, they are preparing to do something like this, just like they did in Mali on June 2nd. What happened in Mali, this attack that took place over there by this Carlos guy, you know, what happened is a lot of people said, well, it's not a terrorist attack. It's not ISIS. ISIS is cashing the glory. ISIS told the Muslim to stay away from casino and from public places. They did the same thing that they said to the American Muslims. And so they told, this is their news. And the next thing, the attack took place. And this is no difference. You know, if we look at this, we must understand that the Islamic State has previously called for these attacks on the U.S. homeland and has specifically mentioned Las Vegas, Nevada as a target, specifically. Then number two, the Islamic State issued statement in the last, you know, in last week through one of its information as Nashar News, which is we have to start reading the world news, you know, not just CNN. Which is fake news, or all those other fake news media. We need to start seeing what's happening. So it's calling for the Muslim to avoid places in America and elsewhere where the crusaders will gather and have mentioned, you know, major event as, you know, concert outside of Vegas and different places as target. They have been preparing for it. Number three, in recent days, jihadi have launched attacks in Europe. These attacks are taking place one after the other. The one that took place in Marseille,
yes.
The one that took place in, you know, I mean, you know, we see what's happening in Europe, you know, attack after attack. And just recently they found all those big bombs. They're about, you know, to be taken outside in France, you know, not in Marseille. The first one was in, in Marseille, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one was in Nice, you know, and then and the other one was in Canada.
Yes.
You know, just, you know, a guy ran a police, you know, and came out and started stabbing him.
Yeah, the attacks are certainly mounting up here for sure. Art, we are up against the clock. Let's take a break. Coming back, we'll talk more with Kamal Saleem about that Vegas shooter. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. Talking today to Kamal Saleem. He's president of Koum Ministries. That's KOOME Ministries.com. He is a former culture jihadist, and with the shootings there in Vegas, we thought we'd bring him on because there are so many unanswered questions still about the shooter and certainly some of the supports that were around him. So, Kamal, we were talking during the break there a little bit about some of the recruiting efforts that is happening right now. Why don't you fill us in on that?
You know, ISIS is we need to understand how the mind of the enemy works. You know, if we don't understand their strategy and their ideology and how it works, then we're going to fail. When ISIS starts, you know, forewarning, you know, that something in the USA is going to happen, so Muslim avoid this, they are asking the Muslim not to be part of this because they already found somebody in that area. They have recruited that somebody. And they have, you know, because they're trying to cash their money very fast. And how they going about it? They're going after those angry people that they joined Intifa, that they are, you know, part of the liberal movement, that these people already angry with the conservatives, angry with the crusaders, angry with this, move, in America going conservative again. So what happened, they are targeting these people online on their Facebook. Their Facebook is an entrance to everything. And they're going over there and they're seeing, what they speak and the trash they speak in and what so have you. And they engage in them. And after they engage in them, they give them logic that they have not heard before. That logic is Islam is the final religion and this and that. And God is specifically coming to, you know, our enemy and your enemy are the same one. So we're going to join together. You know, so this person finding somebody to equate his pain, his hate, his anger to align with this. And now we want you to be the man, our champion, to do this, because this is a promise. You know, if you die, you will rise before the face of Allah, and and he will forgive you all your sin, and you will get pleasures forever. So this guy is given his money. He converted to Islam, and he doesn't know anything, but he's going to make his point. And since Intifa did not make it, since the socialist move did not make it, since the liberal did not make it, then I'm going to make it, and it's going to be silent methodology, which is cancerous. And so therefore he does this, and they target their area for the attacks, and then the method of execution of the attack. So what happened is that's what they did exactly. And when they did all this, what happened is, you know, the American FBI, since we are not looking at it from previously, prior, you know, in Bush days and before, how to deal with Islamic terrorism, what happened is they looking at it from Islamic perspective, and they look at this as just they looked at, Fort Hood. What did they call Fort Hood? It's a
workplace violence.
It's a workplace violence.
Yeah.
What they did, the beheading in a woman in Oklahoma, man who converted, to Islam, what happened? It's a workplace violence. And later on, they found out, well, all of them coming from Islamism. These people say, I'm a Muslim. I did it because of Islam. And so, therefore, that's what we're looking at it. You know, it should be noted that very strong data point to an understanding the events in Las Vegas. You know, these are they already pointed there. They painted the picture. And why the FBI did not listen to it and forewarned about it, it's a big mistake. The Islamic State has never claimed responsibility for an attack that is not done by jihadi.
Well, they did. Apparently, they did claim responsibility for that attack in the Philippines on the casino, and that turned out not to be
there. Yes, they did. But the truth is, when you come about this, if you look at what that's what they thought. But if we look further now, what's coming out, we find out that this man did convert to Islam, and he knows his way through the casino. You know, remember the gentleman who went to the homosexual club and he killed the homosexual,
down in Orlando. Florida. Yeah, Orlando.
Yes, what happened, this man, Carlos, did the same exact thing. That was his turf. That he went over there, that he was a gambler, he was everything, and he was taken, he been brought to Islam, converted to Islam, and they sent him to the same area where his sin was taking place, so he can cleanse his own sin and destroy those infidels, and so therefore, This is part of the strategy, and so we must understand the nature of the attack. You know, if we don't understand the nature, then all the evidence is not going to lead to Rome. You know, as they say, you know, so we may as well just close it and say that's not real. But this man was prepared, and he sent money over there, and we need to know who he dated and who he met over there, where he spent money, where he gave his donation. We need to trace that money. That will tell us where he came from.
Well, in terms of there's just an awful lot of questions here. I only got about a minute here. Let's deal real quickly with Antifa. You mentioned that they've likely been infiltrated by Muslim extremists. Can you point to some examples of that per se?
I'm not understanding your question.
Do you have any evidence that Muslim terrorists have invaded Antifa?
We know exactly what happened is that when the Muslim, you know, Muslim Brotherhood in the United States of America, you know, Ahmed Ibrahim, when he said, you know, your fight is our fight, your war is our war. Now it's in Islamic, just as it is yours. He said that publicly. It's, you know, Google that. It's out there, you know, or if you don't want to use Google, use something else, you know. But nevertheless, they said that. They said that to Black Lives Matter. They said that to Antifa, you know, and they join effort. And so when we see, you know, some of the Muslim leader women stepping out with Antifa to rally and speak and, you know, and do whatsoever, you know, they united together. And we spoke about previous shows. When we talked on your show, this is the unity of the isms: Islamism, socialism, secularism, liberalism, fascism, Nazism, all the isms of the world, you know, and liberalism coming together in unity in the same, you know, the manner of their father, you know, to destroy, to deceive and to kill.
Yes. Wow. All right. Let's go ahead and take a break there. Plenty more with Kamal Saleem. Stay with us. And welcome back. Thanks for staying with us here on the iSpy Radio Show, talking today to Kamal Saleem. He is president of Qum Ministries. He's a former culture jihadist. And so we're talking to him about the Las Vegas shooting and certainly some similarities and suspicions there. From that last segment, I just have a whole bunch of different rabbit trails I'd like to go down, but I kind of like would to focus on one of them, which is what you alluded to as we were leaving that last segment, is this this confluence of all of the isms. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't seem to understand, is that just because you're not specifically a Muslim or specifically, you know, part of a Muslim organization like the Muslim Brotherhood or ISIS and whatnot, that doesn't mean that you can't or won't get support from them, correct?
That's exactly right. And what unites them is mammon, the finances. Mm-hmm. Finances is the glory of the move, you know, because, you know, Antifa, if we look at the word, you know, where it's created and generated, it is to create, you know, fire and to create, you know, a revolution. You know, when we look at Islamism, it's the same methodology. If we look at fascism, if we look at socialism, if we look at, you know, liberalism, it's to come against the system, you know, against the things that's been set in orchestration, in perspective, you know, which is create orchestration of civilization. It comes to, you know, defy that and destroy the culture from that perspective, to really create holes in the world in the defense of that nation.
Well, so to be clear, ISIS or Muslim Brotherhood, they would offer, I mean, if they find out that somebody is willing to do this kind of horrific thing, like what this guy did in Las Vegas, would they be willing to offer logistical or financial or weapons or any other support to somebody like this, simply because they're fighting the same enemy? Or is there hands off there? Well, he's not Muslim, so we're not going to help him at all.
Well, the answer is yes, and it changes depending on the circumstances. What America, you know, the American, you know, political system did not understand or come to fathom, like Trump won. When he won, he threw all the game out. Everybody was, you know, worried, like, how did he do this? As a matter of fact, you know, Hillary Clinton said, you know, she only wrote the victory speech. She was not expecting her, you know, defeat, you know, and so therefore they could not understand how they were defeated. So they thought they got it in their bank. But when we look at all this, the finances that's coming from all over from the state of Qatar. The state of Qatar is a state of terrorism. Today, you know, it's mentioned by many nations, you know, European, Far Eastern nation as Qatar as this terrorist, you know, organization state. And so therefore, when we look at the Muslim Brotherhood leaving Egypt and going to Qatar, hiding over there, we know that's become their headquarters. And then when we look at all, you know, like, you know, all the supporters, you know, that they are supporting, you know, into this from Marxism, you know, and many other, you know, coming from Europe, the finances from German Marxists and what so have you. And then we look at the Islamists, you know, like, for example, we can't forget Naila, you know, she is, you know, she was leading Intifa, you know, she is a fascist Muslim. You know, yeah. And she was declaring Islamization, and you can see it on Fox News, you can see it on CNN, you can see it everywhere. She was fighting for, you know, Intifa, using women stepping out there to say Muslim and Intifa are the same, and it's in her speech, you know, and so therefore we look at George Soros, you know, this another communist move. You know, these socialists are trying to destroy America. The war is against America because America has brought something specific and unique, which is it destroyed the globalist agenda in the United States of America, because America was a superpower until Obama, which is, we refer to him as Mr. Obi, you know, and what happened is he came and he destroyed the United States from within, that now America can merge and come under the United Nation and be part of that unity of one world order. And so therefore what happened, which is the Bushes were part of it, the Clintons are part of it, the Gores are part of it, the Microsoft people, Bill Gates is part of it, Hollywood is part of it, you know, all these guys, the media is part of it, Islamists are part of it. So all of them are coming together, and what they're fighting, you know, like, whoops, this man is not easily bought because he doesn't need the money. Yeah. And what happened? He's fighting back for American Constitution to be restored and America to be what it used to be. And he brought a bunch of generals. And so the people that they are moving in the movement could not understand how could that be. So they are retaliating out of anger. And now the feeding into this fire is money coming from outside of the United States of America, feeding, you know, feeding fuel, you know, and to create revolution. And the emphasis is what they want to do is create chaos in our United States streets, that it is terrorism, any way you look at it. So America could not do its daily business, could not stand to North Korea or to any other issue of Iran, nuclear capacity, or the fascist Muslim Brotherhood, you know, and so therefore that's the agenda. That's wow. Where the war is.
Well, we are certainly under attack from all sides for sure. Let's go ahead and take a break a little early. Coming back, I want to talk to you a little bit more about the role of women in some of these attacks as well. Everyone stay with us. Lots more with Kamal Saleem. This segment of iSpy Radio is sponsored by Landmark Pacific. Don't just build a building, build a landmark. And we're back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. Talking today to Kamal Saleem, president of Koome Ministries, K-O-O-M-E, ministries.com. He's a former culture jihadist and our expert that we go to whenever we come across these kinds of incidents. And during the break, we were talking about the role of women in this. And I think this is something that we really need to discuss because I don't think it gets covered enough. I think there's sort of this Western perspective that, you know, the women within Islamic cultures, you know, because they wear the hijab and whatnot, they kind of take a backseat role. And yet here in America, we've certainly seen them play very prominent roles. Down in San Bernardino, she apparently was the real brains behind the operation. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about the women in some of these more radical Islamic attacks?
You know, the agenda, the Islamist agenda, the jihadi agenda, it is devious agenda. Number one, they knew that they can't recruit men, into this, that many men would not step into this, you know, unless something wore them in, you know. So many of the tools that the Islamists have been using is what's so-called, it's websites, you know, about Islamic dating. These are where, you know, women jihadis are sitting over there and they are trying to lower, you know, American Muslims, you know, in so they can use them to marry them and come across to the United States so they can fulfill their agenda. That's number one. Mm. Number two, we need to understand the ultimate evil behind all this terrorist, you know, attack and shifting and what so have you. You go like, is it really, you know, Islam? I would say to you, Islam is a tool. Islam is not the driver. Why? Because when we look at, you know, when we look at Obama, what he did, he is part Muslims. You know, he came from a Muslim family, but he was playing to a globalist agenda. So how the Muslim fit into this whole thing? The globalists found the Muslim that if they use the Muslim agenda and use the Muslim to herd them into creating chaos in different Western civilization, which is where the power is, you know, so therefore what happened, they can create one world order because somebody has to come and say, I can create peace. So the Muslim are used by the globalists, just like how Obama was used. So when we look at the Muslims, they go like, okay, we need to know who is speaking into them and who is, you know, the Word of God says we do not fight flesh and blood, but principalities and power and, you know, issues of spirits. But we need to know that those spirits move into people as well. Mm. For somebody to behead somebody that is not a human. That is a spiritual wickedness.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so therefore, so the Islamists are coming to the understanding, this is has to be led by women. Why? Because the greatest power in Western civilization, it is by the women movement. And in order to herd the women movement, we need to send our women to stand with them. These women are Islamists. They are trained. They are unique. They are they've been studying for a long time, just like in and sent into the move of the women movement. Whether it's in Intifa, whether it's in abortion, whether it's in all those places, and you go like Islam does not believe in abortion, but yet they will stand with parenthood, Planned Parenthood, and all those places. It doesn't make sense. So. What happened, as long as their enemy losing blood, you know, as long as the American children being aborted, as long as the American people killed on the street, as long as America is being in chaos, then what we could do, we can use our women to, you know, affect your women. And when you go out there, there's stories. Intifa women are flying overseas. They go into Turkey. They marry Muslim men. Mm. They're coming over. You know, they are, you know, it's coming together, the mingling, the marriage has taken places, you know, in what's so-called the isms. And that when that marriage takes place, you know, the reason why they use this woman, because, you know, many, many people in America think that the woman is the lesser, you know, of two, you know, in a Muslim world between men and women. But here women are speaking out. Out loud, and they've proven that Islam, women in Islam is valid, you know, and so now they are stepping and following these people because these people are trained, not just trained, but they have understanding what to do next. While the people from Intifa, they have no idea what to do. They are useful idiots as well. And so they are going to see if you break window, I'll break window too. And, you know, so now these people teaching them, and these people have lost their price warrior. Mm-hmm. And the liberal has lost their fight in America. So who they are looking for a Goliath. And who is that Goliath? Today his name is Islam. And who is today in Islam is the women in Islam.
Wow. Wow. I think we'll go ahead and take a break a little early because this next question is going to take a bit. So everyone stay with us. We're going to continue our discussion here with Kamal Saleem talking about the Vegas shooter and the wider implications of that. Stay with us. And welcome back. Fascinating discussion today about the Las Vegas shooter. We're doing that with Kamal Saleem. He is a former cultural jihadist with the PLO and Muslim Brotherhood and came to America to destroy it from within, but had his own conversion event that woke him up. And his ministry is now geared around exposing the dangers of Islam and also to bring Muslims to the freedom and liberty of Jesus Christ. His website is Koome Ministries, K-O-O-M-E, ministries.com. And we, in that last segment, we were talking about the influence of women within Islamic societies and certainly how they are used as jihadists. And this was really eye-opening. I don't think a lot of people know about this. I think a lot of people just kind of think that women are sort of taking a back seat in the Islamic cultures. But this is clearly not the case, as you open our eyes to. But there's another element that we didn't cover, and this is that they are actively out there on these dating sites recruiting American men. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about that?
Well, you know, today, if you look at targeting, if I was the FBI, I would start, you know, going online, you know, dating Muslim women. That's what they are, you know, Islamic dating and what so have you. And many of the women out there, when you put your profile and this and that, you know, what happened is they see what is your belief, and when they're looking for a target, they're looking for an easy target, you know. So we really need to really think outside of the box, FBI, and so therefore they are luring these men to marry them, you know, knowing that when this woman come in, she will come with the orders and with the plans, with the chemical mixing, with everything. She will have the whole package with her.
So this is not just a simple that Muslim women are trying to marry American men, and their religion is just sort of an offshoot of who they are. This is a matter of training, and that they have a goal or mission to accomplish. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Well, let's examine what Sharia said. Let's examine what the Islamic teaching said. The Islamic teaching said only a Muslim man can marry an infidel, can marry non-believers. You know, so whether she's Jews or Christian, he can marry her. And why do you marry her? To obtain not just favor, to obtain, you know, power when you go there into that course and that culture. So now you can obtain their constitution power and fight from that perspective. This is part comes part of the immigration, which is they refer to it as hujra. And so therefore, and women, it's illegal for a Muslim woman to marry an American man or Christian or Jews, you know, he has to be a Muslim man. But in the days of war, in Islamic teaching, there is what's so called fatwa. Fatwa is when the group of, you know, imams, they call them shura, they come together and they come together and they adjudicate, meaning they come out with a fatwa, which is they say, this is what we declare, that under this circumstance, that this man can convert, you know, be, you know, or this woman can marry a Muslim man, you know, for the purpose of advancing Islamization.
So it's like a special dispensation, in other words.
This has come from the doctrine al-Muruna, you know, which is, you know, al-Taqiyya, which is lying by omission to your enemy. Al-Muruna is to practice something is not valid in Islam, outside of Islam, for the purpose of Islam, and, you know, to deceive the other people. And so, and where is that happening currently in America? It's happening on our colleges.
Yes.
Muslim women are engaging our American boys, specifically, trying to see who is among them the weakest in mind, the weakest in spirit, the weakest in, you know, that sexually, you know, can be entertained or what so have you, so they can lower that man and marry him. And once they marry him, then they can work through him. He could become the shooter in Las Vegas.
Wow.
He could become, you know, San Bernardino. He could be anything.
This is just absolutely chilling. I mean, it's like a religious form of prostitution in some ways. That you are willing to give of yourself in order to accomplish a goal for that religion. I mean, that's chilling.
Well, there is a law in Islam, you know, and during war, it's called marriage for muta, meaning married for pleasure. So the warriors, what happened is they marry them. The imams will come and marry the woman, you know, that's in a Shia. You know, they marry the woman, you know, they make a contract between a man and woman for overnight. So this man can sleep with this woman, and after he sleep with her, then the divorce decree take place second day. But in the meantime, the imam get paid, the women get paid, and the man going back to war, you know, and because he got his sexual fix. And so, therefore, this is part of the Islamic doctrine during war. And in some instances, you know, like ISIS, brought that, although ISIS is not Shia, they're Sunnah, they brought that by bringing when you captivate your enemy, when a woman with your enemy, she is Christian, she is a Jew, she is Shia, she is whatever, then if you obtain her, if you capture her through war, that you can sleep with her, you know, even to the point, you know, that you can subdue her and she become your property as slavery. So it's used in both ways, you know, and so therefore it's marriage, you know. If Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam, when he obtained women through war, they became his concubine, and he can sleep with, it's his legal right to sleep with them, because the Quran says, whatever your right hand capture, whatever your right hand subdue, then it's your legal right, whether it's money, whether it's women, whether it's property, whether it's a nation that is not yours. So this is part of the teaching in the Quran. Whatever your right hand, you know, subdue and capture, it's your legal rights, you know, to inherit. So when we look at this, here's something very important to say. We got to stop as an American culture to look at this from a Western perspective. We Yes. have to look at this from their perspective, Islamic perspective, and how it is allowed and disallowed. Because when we study that, we will see the danger that we are facing. Last but not least, it's very important, is not how many people they are killing. It is not terrorist act, is not how many people they killed, is how many people they terrorize after they killed. Hmm. Like, they killed nearly 3,000 people, you know, on 9/11. But the people were terrorized by this by the millions.
That's right.
That is their victory.
It is absolutely shocking, and like you say, I mean, the point is we have to look at it from their perspective, not ours, because we are certainly living in an undeclared war. Everyone stay with us. We'll wrap things up with Kamal Saleem after this. And welcome back. We're in our final segment now with Kamal Saleem. He is a former culture jihadist and president of Koome Ministries, K-O-O-M-E, ministries.com. And, of course, we'll link that up on today's show page on iSpyRadio.com. We also have some books and DVDs up there in our bookstore. If you want to go look at that, they will point you over to his website, which you can explore a little more fully. They are just DVDs and books that we have talked about in the past, and just fascinating information for you. Absolutely an incredible discussion with Kamal. You can certainly see why America is under attack, being the bastion of freedom and being founded on Christian principles. It is no wonder we are under attack from all sides in an undeclared war with radical Islamists. And before we go, there's been a lot of speculation that the shooter in Las Vegas may have been part of a gun-running operation, either on the part of the government or on his own, to sell guns to ISIS or to other terrorists in the area, and that this was, in many respects, a deal that went bad. I mean, certainly had all of those munitions down in his car as well, bomb-making materials. Can you speculate on that speculation for us?
Well, the guy was sold out, and he want to send message to America, you know, and it's called terrorism. We are here to terrorize, you know, terrorize your peace and everything that you stand for. His message was not, you know, this concert was a country music. concert. These people were, you know, you can refer to them as conservative because they like country. That's how they painted it, you know, and, you know, that country people are Trump people. And so what happened is this man was planning to go further if he survived, but he knew that he would not be able to survive because he put his three cameras. Yeah. And what he did, he cowardly killed himself at the end so he would not be captured. So nobody would know what happened to him, you know. And so even his family didn't know anything about him. But yet, people in the crowd, there was some people knew about the attack before it took place, you know. And so, you know, and there are two of them, the female and a male, you know. You know, some of the media talked about this, you know, specifically, you know, and it's been advertised out there from Brit, you know, Britbright, you know, and all those places that they have, you know, they have some description of these people. So this is probably we should have went further or deeper. And, you know, but we didn't know that maybe in my speculation, if I have bomb in my car, then if I cowered at the end, you know, I will run through the crowd with my car and bomb myself and kill everybody with me.
Yeah.
This is what I speculate.
Thank goodness that did not happen. Well, we've got about 2.5 minutes here with you. You are starting a new ministry. In the past, your ministry was really focused on exposing a lot of the strategies used by radical Islam and understanding, getting a better, deeper understanding of Islam itself. But you're really starting down a new path in your ministry. Why don't you talk to our audience a little bit about what you're doing now?
Well, the new, it's not a new ministry. It's part of Qum ministry, but it's a new teaching. And this teaching is specifically for all those pastors that they are out there, that they look at this issue as it's a political game and they don't want to be part of it. This is not political. This is about God's mandate for Ishmael and Isaac and the Gentile. You know, and so therefore, you know, what's on God's heart and what his plan and what the word of God says in this teaching also it reveals where we are in time verbatim. And I'm not saying the last hour. I'm not saying, you know, when God, you know, is going to do this. I'm talking about where we are on, you know, on God's calendar for, you know, time in the history and the prophecies, you know, all this place. Although these things are not something I'm prophesying, but I'm bringing a spirit of prophecy in the Bible to say what God says and how he's fulfilling them. So it is God's word spoken is coming to the fullness. And these, we need to bring them to specific places, specifically synagogues, you know, Jewish places. We need to bring them to, you know, liberal churches, you know, that they are really not sure what's happening out there, places that, you know, they don't want to know what the truth is. Let's hear what God has to say and let God speak to all of us in this matter, because it's bringing more Muslims to Christ and bringing more people to Christ for such time as this.
Yes, absolutely. Well, certainly in this time, we need eyes to be opened and ears to be open as well. And I just love how you put it on your website to see Ishmael redeemed. Kamal, I want to thank you so much for your time today. It's always so informative.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for what you do.
All right, thank you. Take care. 4 hours and 27 minutes. According to the CDC, there were 33,594 gun-related deaths in the U.S. But if gun deaths occurred at the same rate that abortions occurred worldwide, an entire year's worth of gun deaths in the U.S. would only take 4 hours and 27 minutes. Don't tell me you're concerned about saving lives by taking away guns when your party wants to make it easier to kill the most innocent. It's not about gun control, it's about evil control. Supporting abortion, supporting violence through Antifa, supporting Islamic organizations because they're anti-American, the left needs to take a long, hard look at itself and the culture of death and violence they help promote. Thank you for joining us today. We certainly hope that you're at least a little wiser for having been here. Visit iSpyRadio.com for links and more information and help spread the word, because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.